Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Miami Heat had their exit exams earlier this week, and very nicely and voluntarily, pretty much everyone spoke, with the exception of Terry Rozier, not surprised, Andrew Wiggins, and Duncan Robinson. What does that say? Who knows? But what we do know is that everyone else did speak, and we got to kind of dive into it. Of course, really the main topic this year, Vlad, for the Miami Heat was the Jimmy Butler saga. And yes, the Heat, they have culture. They're not going to run from it. They're going to acknowledge it and explain it. So first up, the captain, Bam Adebayo, talked about the whole Jimmy Butler drama and how it affected this season and this year's team.
That was a lot right there. You don't realize it when you're going through it. I would say trying to get everybody on the same page through the storm. Because like I've said in many times sitting up here, you got to understand that somebody still has to play the game. You still got to go out there and figure out how to win, you know, if guys are in or out. And, you know, obviously keeping that same motivation of trying to win. Like I said before, this organization and this team could have let go of the rope a long time ago. Going through what we went through this season, you know, a lot of people could have just chalked it up and just been like, you know what, we're just gonna start over. And, you know, that's one thing I love about, you know, this organization, that we're always trying to win no matter what situation we're in. Like I said before, you know, we went through two play-in games trying to get in the playoffs on the road, trying to just get to the dance. So I would say it's been an up and down road. And, you know, we've figured out how hard it is to win.
I'll agree with Bam on that for the most part. I was proud of this team for never really quitting. They had that 10-game losing streak. They had the whole Jimmy Butler saga. They got into the play-in. They won the two play-in games. But then, Vlad, the last two games of the season happened, and I'll be honest with you, Vlad, especially the last game of the season, and I don't think I even need to preface by saying honest with you, that team was done. Can't be proud and say, no, we fought to the bitter end. You did not.
Here's the thing, though. It's like these messages now, it just got tired. Tiring, you know what I mean? It got old. Like, I've heard this before. Like, I've heard it all before. You know what I mean?
I think, like, the team, like, you're worn down.
You got worn down, and then the more you've seen it, because it was like, and as the captain, you got to voice the message of the organization. So, because, you know, it's all on you, and it, unfortunately, his first year as captain, a lot of crap fell up on him.
It was baptism by fire.
That's
a tough thing to do. Your first year as captain, have to go through
that.
That
was an inferno, bro.
And you want to be a player's guy, but at the same time, you got to be a company man. And I think it weighed him down, and I think you'll probably have a better year for Bam next year.
I think it weighed on him, especially considering he's coming. He didn't really have
He had no downtime.
He had no downtime. Right after the play, the only downtime he had, if we're looking a year from May 3rd of last year to now, the only downtime he had was at this point in 2024, when the Heat just got eliminated by the Celtics. He probably had a little time before he had to head down to Vegas for the Olympics. Him and Spo was also part of the Olympic team. He was an assistant coach, so they spent the whole summer with the Olympic team, and then right after the Olympics, probably get a couple weeks off, and then you got to get ready for the season. The season, you know, September, you're at the facilities taking pictures, and then boom, you're in the Bahamas.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear this from people like, well, Bam needs to be better than that. Playing basketball, he needs to be in better condition. It seemed like everybody that played for the USA Olympic team, God bless them, we love them, they had kind of a rough go this year. Look, Devin Booker, tough. Kevin Durant, tough. LeBron James, tough. Tough
not
times.
Really. Not really.
Even Anthony Edwards started the season slow.
Yeah. No, Anthony Edwards just decided to do everything that they told him in the Olympics, and people didn't understand it until they realized what he was doing.
But it takes some wear and tear. It takes wear and tear on your body.
It's absolutely going to take, because you really need to take a time off from the season to relax your body.
Yeah, like, so it didn't just affect Bam. It affected a lot of the guys.
But it didn't really affect them because we were still marveling at the fact that a 40-year-old man in his 22nd season was playing this great. We were still marveling at what Steph was doing. We were still going crazy at what KD was doing. Just that it didn't help with the win with their NBA teams.
The results were not very good.
You know, the results might have not been good for all of them, but it did. I mean, look, Anthony Edwards just a young Thundercat right now. That's why he could play all season.
Getting his leggings under him.
Yeah, he's young. That's why he can do that. But for the Heat, it was a long season, and a lot of the stuff that happened on the court and especially off the court, it was being exposed.
Well, maybe we're getting more clarity now that they're doing the exit interviews, and now that the season is over, they can kind of step back and give us more of an idea. Eric Spoelstra, our coach, one of the greats in the game, spoke about the Jimmy Butler drama.
You had a player who effectively quit on this team, sat up there an hour after you spoke in January about that, who missed a team flight, who left the gym when told he wasn't starting. Unique situation probably in this franchise's 37-year history. When you look at the relationship with Jimmy Butler and what he did over a period of 6 weeks to force a trade that Pat Riley said he wouldn't have made, can you sort of crystallize for us the impact that that had on this team?
Well, it certainly had an impact. You know, we are an organization that prides ourselves on not making any kind of excuses. And even if we managed it perfectly, there's always second guessing on what we could have done, you know, better just to right the ship. And it was turbulent waters. It's not as if that would have moved the needle for us to be first in the conference. That's nice. Unrealistic. But you know, when I look back on it, I'll look back on it the same way now as years from now. It was a good 5-year run. And when things end, oftentimes they end not as loudly as this, but it ends where there's something. And you go look at all the other teams out there with players when they change teams. There's a certain feeling about it. And it's unfortunate. You know, we all feel like it didn't have to go to that level. But we have clarity now. We've turned the page. There's a different chapter, and we're moving on.
We have clarity.
Man, I appreciate Spo there.
Why?
Because he's straight up honest. Of course it affected us.
Duh.
He said, you know, we didn't play up to our standard. We weren't who we were supposed to be.
Duh. And this is where I fought management. Like, you should have known that was going to happen. That a move like that should have been done before it got to this nasty public situation.
Spo also said, regardless, we weren't going to be a number one seed.
Which means he knew the team was devoid of talent.
Yeah.
Like, Spo was basically saying without saying, look, we don't really handle situations like that. We kind of hold ourselves in a regard of, like, being professionals, everything like that. But low-key, he was really saying, yo, this ain't my fault, man. Riles knew this was going to happen. He knew him and Jimmy weren't getting along. And this should have happened before the season started or before it got to the trading deadline. I wouldn't have to deal with a lot of this. It affected me. It screwed my head. I didn't know when timeouts were. I was calling timeouts when we didn't have any timeouts. Yeah.
Yeah, we were off.
It's all effed up. That's what it is.
It's not just enough to be a team that's kind of off kilter, but a team that's not super talented off kilter leads you to a sub-500 season where you get swept out in the first round of the playoffs by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Nasty.
That's true. That's true. Let's hear Tyler Hero. He had a career year this year. He spoke about the Jimmy Butler situation.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
It was highs and lows trying to deal with different days, not really knowing what to expect. But ultimately, I think it was just like a overall wondering, like, when is it going to end? Like, that was kind of the main thing is when can we just focus on basketball? And that's what this profession is basketball. That's what we're here to do. And that's what we all you know, get paid to do is play basketball. And at the end of the day, that's what we wanted to worry about. So as you can imagine, not really, some days aren't the best, some days are better than others, but just trying to worry about basketball and focus on that.
Tyler Hero basically telling you this team wasn't focused.
No, but Tyler Hero's basically telling you we thought this management would have handled this situation, and it continued going, you know, festering, and then it got to the point where it's that cancer spread to all of us, and it was just too late.
It's too much.
It was just too late.
He just wanted to play basketball.
They all wanted to play basketball. They all wanted the situation to be over with. They just know that Jimmy wanted to get paid. Everybody know what Jimmy wanted to get paid. Riles, old school, I get it. No, I'm not paying you, but you're still going to pay. No, he's not going to do that. And that's the situation where you got it.
And it was tough because neither side was going
to
budge.
We're not going to act like Golden State was the first place Jimmy wanted to go to. No, Jimmy wanted to go to Phoenix. And it worked out for Jimmy. In the long run, the guy that won was the guy that caused all of this.
Mm.
Jimmy.
Mm. Mm. So Eric Spoelstra spoke again about this Jimmy Butler saga. It made the team better, he says. Yeah, now, let's listen to this. Eric Spoelstra talking about the Jimmy drama actually made the team better. Let's call BSR if he's really being honest about everything.
All the other adversities, it made me better. I've never been in a situation like that. And to try to keep a locker room together and to try to... you know, handle it during those weeks, but then also to fully change course and stylistically and how to play and what to emphasize, you know, at the All-Star break. And that was an invigorating challenge. Our staff, you know, we felt absolutely alive by the challenge and inspired by a group that, you know, wanted to figure this out. All these experiences, you know, hopefully it can make you better as a head coach and leader, especially the unexpected ones, because even in a normal NBA season, it's not normal.
Okay.
There's always going to be some things, and it's just another experience that I can put it in the experience bag. And I hope I'm better, you know, for it.
That man sounds like he needs a beach, a margarita, and not to see anything that involves with basketball.
That's what you take away from it. I take away two things from that last statement. Number one, this Jimmy ordeal was huge in the locker room. It made a huge difference.
Man, they were stressed. That's what I'm saying. He needs 2 weeks away from anything bat three.
He needs some time away. About 3 months ago he needed time away.
he needs nothing. He doesn't want to see a Miami Heat symbol. He doesn't want to see Kaseya Center. He needs not to see anything right now basketball related.
Speaking of basketball related, I saw Kim Mulkey kissing one of her players just now. That's why I was pointing at the TV.
Oh, yeah, they played at LSU yesterday.
Yeah, Brazil and the Chicago Sky. Nonetheless, yeah, he needs the break. Also, he says, I hope it makes me better. He didn't say it makes him better. He says, I hope we all learn from this experience. If anything, we get something out of this situation. But it was, for lack of a better term, an illness that was in the locker room. It seems like everybody just kind of talks about, oh, goodness. Speaking of an illness this year, one guy that dealt with illness, it seemed like every other week, was Jaime Jaquez Jr. He had bubble guts to no ends. Eric Spoelstra talked about Jaime Jaquez Jr. and what kind of happened this sophomore slump.
He'll work on everything. And he had a really good summer last summer. And then he sprained his ankle right before training camp. And then these are not excuses, but it led to some of the just inconsistency of his play or his role. The first time I thought he was started to play well after the Mexico City game. And then that led to three of his four of his stomach issues, and sometimes you just can't control that. But those three or four instances where he was taken out of the lineup, and then three sprained ankles. So every time he started to get rhythm, one of those events would happen, and then there's a ramp up coming back. The team would change, and we already had four or five different changes within the team anyway. And then his role would have to change, and that's a lot for a young player.
So it sounds like a folly of events for Jaime Jaquez Jr. this sophomore year. A couple of bubble gut situations 4 or 5 times, a couple of ankle sprains, never really got going. I don't know what the future holds for Jaime Jaquez Jr., Vlad. Do you have any confidence that he comes back in year 3 and is a decent contributor to this Heat team? He had year 1.
All right, so we're talking basketball. We're not going to speculate.
Yeah, I don't want to. First of all, that's craziness.
But yeah.
Straight up basketball wise. He's got it in him, right?
He's got.
Or maybe he's been.
You know what? I'm going to say something that's crazy. I low key think he should do summer league this year. Just to get his confidence back, bro. Because that is a major drop-off from what you were last season. You were, I think he was first-team all-rookie, maybe second-team.
Oh, no, he was first-team all-rookie.
First-team all-rookie
sure.
And a
Might
guy.
Have been third in the voting.
And a guy that you were looking for to take the next step, and then if he took the next step, and then because a lot of things would be different right now if Jaime Jaquez Jr. were played just as good as he did in his first year or took a step. Because now you're looking at a nucleus of Bam, Tyler, Jaime. And still trying to know what's going on with Nico and then Khalil. Yeah. But you have some athletic bigs there that you can work with.
If anything, some more depth.
And some more depth. Now, I don't know, his confidence is shot, Playboy. Like he's gonna definitely need to get
He's been dealing with injuries too.
Injuries, cool. Work on your body, get healthy. But I don't know I still think he can play the game. I just think it's gonna be his confidence that needs that needs a slider boost.
So maybe, like you say, you slow roll him out there. You say, look, he played injured last year. He needs to get his legs under him. He's going to play 1-2 summer league games. You know, we'll just give him some time. Give him some run. Let him get back into game shape. You know, it's a kind of a soft landing. You go out there, you play a quarter in summer league, you score 17 points, and you say, okay, you know, we've seen enough. You're good. You're good. We got to save. Now we're going to save you for the season. Might be the best thing for Jaime Jaquez Jr., to be honest with you, Vlad. I don't think you're totally crazy. Hard part is getting him to agree to go play summer league games.
I don't think, but because he's in third year, but I really think he should.
And like I said, I'm not asking him to play every single game.
Just play 2 games just to get
your 2 quarters.
Just get your confidence back, just knowing that where you stand, like you feel like you're in a comfortable position within the organization, within the roster. But yeah, because not knowing what's going to happen, you got to figure he might be included in any trade or any deals that's going to happen.
I mean, he has trade bait written all over him, guys like that.
Right, and a guy like that would you know, the way he plays, and this, what is he, like 6'9"?
Yeah, he's tall, and he's lengthy. Fundamentally strong basketball player. Yeah.
He can drive.
He can score. He's long.
Like, he's got a game for the league right now, and it was just not it was showcased his rookie year, second year. He did not take the necessary steps. You know, injuries or not, they don't make excuses, like they said. But he didn't take that next step.
I think for Jaime Jaquez Jr., it's about getting healthy and getting his confidence back. And I think he'll be a good contributor to this team in what will be year 3 next year, because we're already looking to next year. Let's forget about this year, because it was one we want to forget about. Back with more Sports Day here on 560 WQAM.